This episode is brought to you by FreeDadCourse.com. You are always one conversation away from changing your life, and the power of hello is something that I subscribe to every single day, and I'm always saying hello to new people everywhere I go. Increasing your opportunity, increasing your connection, and getting access to the solutions to the problems that you are facing, whether you're on active duty or just beginning your veteran transition or even transitioning out for 20 years. On the other side of hello are the solutions that you're looking for. Again, head on over to freedadcourse.com. Get your 5-episode audio course to create more connection, create more friendships, and get back to living the life that you're trying to design.
You are capable of more than you think. Like, we put these limitations on ourselves, like you said earlier. And if we just push through that, we have the courage to push through that. I talked to them about courage a fair amount as well, and fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's just looking at fear and taking the action anyway.
Dory 1, this is Fireteam Delta. Dad's coming home.
Welcome to the Military Veteran Dad Podcast, where it is our mission to bring every dad home. I am your host, Ben Colloy. I'm a United States Marine veteran, husband, and a father. We will bring authentic conversations to inspire action in your life so we can close the gap between the dad you are today and the dad you want to be tomorrow. This is the Military Veteran Dad Podcast.
Welcome back to Military Veteran Dad, episode 106. Guys, it feels so good to be back in the microphone. Break was exactly what I needed. I'm ready for 2021, and I'm ready to leave 2020 in dust. I'm also accepted to the reality that 2021 is going to have more challenges for me. But as 2020 taught me, showing up as a dad, showing up as myself, will bring more of who I am and where I need to go. I am so excited for this week's episode because it is with my good friend, Andy Storch. Andy Storch is a man who decided to take full ownership of his life and the results he was getting. He's an author, a consultant, coach, speaker, facilitator, and he has a mission to get the most out of his life and inspire others to do the same. The author of the recently new book, Own Your Career, Own Your Life, which is designed to help professionals stop drifting and take control of their future. This point is why he is on the podcast today. He is not a military veteran, but his mission and also his friendship in my life is what has made me do some of the things that I did, ask bigger questions to get bigger results. And I'm so excited to have him on here. He actually has two podcasts. He has the Talent Development Hot Seat and the Own Your Career, Own Your Life show. And he is a co-founder of his own conference that we talk about, the Talent Development Think Tank. And he has his own community as well. All links will be in the show notes for all of that. He has taught consultant and strategy to sales and leadership all around the world. Short story, Andy is an amazing guy who, when you become friends with Andy, you immediately start asking bigger questions, just more out of life. You realize so much of what you're leaving on the table. And Andy is that person. Who is it for me? We've met a few times. He's in Florida. I'm in Wisconsin. We've met a few times all over the world. First time we met was actually in Prague. Longest distance connection that I've had for the first time meetup. And then we've met a couple different times here in the United States as well. We talk about that on the podcast. I am so excited for this episode because getting it ready got me reinvigorated for getting you this episode out. I recorded it about a month ago. And I'm excited to get out there as well. Own Your Career, Own Your Life is something you've got to get. Link for that in the show notes as well. I've been reading that and it's just got a basic blueprint that every veteran needs to take that radical accountability to own your life. And if you want to hear my biggest takeaway from this episode, make sure you stay tuned for the other side of the episode. And without further ado, let's get started with Andy Storch. Welcome to the podcast, Andy.
Ben Colloy, thank you so much for having me on. I am excited to be here. We've known each other a long time, and I have been eager to come get on the show. And anytime I have an opportunity to talk with you is always fun.
I know. I wholeheartedly agree. And if you weren't so busy, I would try to fit some more time in to talk to you. But I always know that you've got so much things you're out there doing and talking and connecting. And this is like the most legitimate reason we've come together, because we're creating a podcast episode about your new book, Own Your Career, Own Your Life. Stop drifting and taking control of your future, which is something that many veterans get stuck in. We just accept the default programming that we're told is out there. And being friends with you has rubbed off on me and asking better questions and understanding how there's a different way that you can see the world. And when you start asking those types of questions, you get better answers. So in your book, you talk about this original version that, like, growing up, your big dream was to be a professional baseball player and play for the Chicago Cubs. And this was how you saw the world. go into those time frames and kind of explain, like, what did you think was possible in those early times when you wanted to be a professional baseball player? But then even when you started to accept the reality that I'm going to have to go out and get a job, I'm going to have to get a college degree, like, how did you see the world and what you thought you could fit into it?
Growing up, I was really into sports, college football and professional baseball. I watched a lot of baseball. My dad was a high school teacher and also a big sports fan. He had gone to the University of Florida undergrad, and I knew I wanted to go to college at the University of Florida. I was a big Gator fan. I also had this dream of playing professional baseball. I watched baseball every day, and I played Little League baseball. And one of the things I talk about in the book is kind of the metaphor for why a lot of people don't achieve the big goals they have or the dreams they have, is that I had this dream, but I wasn't really taking action, you know, smart action to go out and achieve that. I mean, I went to practice and I played in the games at Little League Baseball, but I didn't ever go to my coach or my dad or my parents and say, you know, I really want to be a professional baseball player one day. Like, what do we need to, I know I need to get better. What do I need to do that? And, you know, probably would have been hiring a special coach or joining a better team, because I was in probably this, like, you know, mediocre suburban Little League or whatever, right? And I'm not saying I should have had the wherewithal at that point, but it was, you know, reflecting back, that's why by the time I turned 15 and I got to high school and it came time to try out for the high school baseball team, and I just didn't even think that I had a chance of making it, that I just quit playing baseball. And I had a real fixed mindset back then, you know, you're either good at something or you're not. I just thought, I'm not good at baseball, so I'm going to move on and you know, try to get through high school and get to college. And then I don't even know what happens after that point, because my family, my parents were both educators. My dad was a teacher. My mom was a guidance counselor, then an assistant principal, and then a principal of a high school. And my stepmom was a high school principal. Everything I knew was about education. And I knew I didn't necessarily want to be an educator one day. I didn't want to necessarily get into teaching, but everything we did was about getting into college. Like, you will get into and go to college. Like, that was the thing. And so that's what I was focused on. And really, like, through most of high school, I think if anyone ever asked me, like, what's your goal for life, I probably would have said my only goal is to get into the University of Florida. And I achieved that goal, very grateful that I achieved that goal. And I got into University of Florida, the only college I wanted to go to. And I had a full academic scholarship too, which was really lucky, you know, based on the grades and the benefits the state of Florida was offering at the time. But I had no idea what I wanted to do beyond that. I thought I wanted to be a civil engineer because I was really into math and physics and roads and bridges and stuff like that. But I got there and I had to, you know, I did great in physics and calculus, but I needed to pass a calculus class for whatever, I mean, not a calculus class, a chemistry class for whatever reason to get into, you know, the civil engineering major, the upper ranks. And I just couldn't do it, or I didn't think I could. And I didn't put in enough time because I had also joined a fraternity. I was going out, getting into socialization. I was going out drinking, you know, four nights a week, five nights a week. I didn't put in enough study time or ask for help that I needed to break through that barrier. And once again, I failed and I needed to change my major in college. And so I just chose something that somebody recommended. I graduated with that. I still didn't have any kind of plan. I still didn't know what I was doing and had to kind of just take the first job that I could find with joining the manager training program at Walgreens. And I ended up being an assistant manager at Walgreens. And that is when I got into the idea of entrepreneurship for the very first time. I read a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And in that book, very famous book, a lot of people have heard of it, but he talks about, you know, how entrepreneurs build assets and their life and investments for success versus employees. And I thought, oh, this is what I want to do. I need to figure out how to become an entrepreneur. And after that, I tried a bunch of different things. I started some companies. I worked for some startups. They were all failures. And so I eventually got into the corporate world. And then I spent many years kind of drifting through corporate jobs that, you know, looked good, but I was never very happy until I finally got into consulting. And that was a really cool and rewarding career. I worked for a really great consulting company where I got to travel all over the world. And I realized that's something that was missing. You know, I really love adventure and exploring and getting out and seeing the world. I think if I had even the, I know you run the Military Veterans Dad podcast and you went into the Marines, Ben, I didn't have any even exposure, one, to entrepreneurship when I was growing up, or two, to the possibility or idea of joining the military either. There was nobody in my family other than my grandfather's who served in World War II, that that was an idea. And so that's not something I ever considered. That might have been a really interesting, you know, place for me to go just because of the getting out and seeing the world kind of thing. But I finally got to that in my 30s, joining a really cool consulting company, and I got to travel around the world. And you and I, Ben, met up once in Prague, right? Among many other places, Chicago. That real opened my eyes to all the cool things I could be doing. And then later, I know you asked me just about my childhood, and I've kind of continued this into the rest of my story. But in 2016, I got really into personal development, and that got me back into entrepreneurship and led me down the road to where I am today, running my own business, living the life that I fully love and enjoy, and then publishing the book that just came out this year as well.
And I don't know if you know this or not, the similarity. We have never talked about this. The irony is not going to escape you. Did you know that I had a very real story with baseball as well early on?
No, I don't think so.
So this is something I actually use now in my opening keynote. Anytime I'm giving a speech for anything, that I talk about my sophomore year of baseball, because I always loved baseball. I didn't have a big goal. I just loved the sport. I liked what it did. I played it almost all my life. But sophomore year of baseball, out of all 98 innings we played that year, I only played 2 of that innings. And that sophomore year cemented a limiting belief that I didn't really unconsciously stop believing until just the spring of 2020. And it was that everybody else gets to play in the field of life except me. I can do the same amount of work that they do and have the same amount of, not necessarily skill, because I would, same thing with you. I wasn't owning like actually what it takes to get on the field. It was more of just participation type mindset a little bit. That early belief of everybody else gets to play in the field and I'm just going to always be a bench warmer, that played through my life so much. And I was curious, when you think back to when you gave up on that goal, was there a limiting belief that took you a long time to stop believing?
Yeah, I mean, there must have been. And I think, you know, I also mentioned the fixed mindset. Like, it's now, knowing who I am now, it seems insane to me that I got to high school and decided I'm not even going to try out for the team because I know I won't make it. Like, what is the, you know, what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, like, why not even just have fun?
Exactly. Like, just to say I gave it a shot, and I didn't. And I ended up joining the football team, and then I quit. And that was one of my big regrets for a long time, that I quit the football team as well, because I think I would have been really good. I was a really great athlete, and I didn't fully embrace that or go as far as I could go. And I think that I also had that mindset that other people get to play, that I'm not the type of person who is the great star.
That's not me.
That's not me. I was a very shy kid. You know, I didn't branch out and talk to too many people. And I just thought other people get the, you know, get to play on the stage, and I'm just kind of the dugout. You know, I'm in the dugout. I'm kind of rooting the team on. I'm not the star player. And that, you know, that continued later into life when I got back into this idea of entrepreneurship and thought, I really want to be an entrepreneur. But I had a very strong limiting belief that I am not very creative. I don't have the ideas or the resources. I'm never going to be the number one or CEO of a company. I need to find someone who has a great idea and latch on and be like a number two or a COO or something. That's my best shot at being an entrepreneur. And I held on to that limiting belief for a long time. And I just was reflecting on it, realizing it this year that, you know, I have not only been like struggling through figuring out how to start and run my own business for the last few years, but I've done it and I'm running a business that, you know, by many accounts is successful. I'm doing what I love, making 6 figures, and I'm making my own schedule, and it's not perfect. I have plenty of challenges. I invest a lot back into my business, but I am creating new ideas and new, you know, income streams and all that sort of stuff on a regular basis now. And that's sort of something where 2-3 years ago, I would have been listening to one of these podcasts, like listening to this podcast and being like, well, that's great for him.
Yeah, he's not me.
I could never do that, right? That's for other people. I'd love to be like that. I don't know how I could, but it's just not possible. But I'm here doing it, and you're here doing it. And it's because we've kept doing the work to break through those limiting beliefs and eventually end up in a place where we're actually doing the thing that, you know, we thought we might not be able to do. Like, I am the guy, like you said, you have a keynote. We're on stages every now and then, right? We're still in the middle of COVID, so there's not a lot of stages to be on, at least not physical stages. But, you know, I published a book. We have podcasts. It's amazing what you can do when you shed that limiting belief and just go for it. there's a lot of opportunity out there.
And part of my opening there, when I always say it, I always figure out how many days that it's been since the spring year of 2002. And right now it's like 15,893 was the last time I counted it. And essentially part of the thesis that I always present is how many more days are you going to let a belief in your life run? And how many more days are you going to choose to rewrite that? And it kind of just makes it a really big number that kind of wakes everybody up to something that may be in running for many, many days like mine was, and getting them to wonder, like, when are you going to stop choosing that? There was other thread that I wanted to ask you that I think that you could unpack a little bit. It sounded like there was kind of a pivot of before and after when you really stopped living your life for other people and really started living your life for yourself. And the beginning part of Own Your Life, or the second part of Own Your Life, I feel like the subtopic below that is living it not in the eyes of someone else or what other people see the best parts of you, but living it on your own terms. And it sounds like because your parents were educators, you really operated on what you thought the best life they saw for you versus the best life that you saw within yourself that maybe you couldn't see yet, but you had to start chipping away to start seeing that.
Oh yeah. I mean, approval from them, thinking about approval or judgment from others around me was so critical for me in a lot of my life. Even though I was pretty much a rebel, I moved across the country. I was doing things that I don't think they necessarily understood. I think when I went back to school and got my MBA, even though my parents both have master's degrees, I don't think they agreed with that decision for whatever reason. Maybe that was just in my mind. And I'm kind of, everything I do, I'm kind of like, I'm going to show them, right? And I'm going to earn their approval. I was doing things sort of for me, but I was still really doing things for others. And I did have that wake up call where I think, you know, I realized through this personal development journey that I'm going to live life for me. I'm going to do the things that I want to do. When I quit the consulting company and became an independent consultant, and then when I left the organization I was with as an independent consultant this year to go completely on my own, I think my parents were, again, probably baffled with like, what are you doing? Because they have no entrepreneurs in our family other than my uncle, who's like, you know, kind of done all kinds of weird stuff over the years from sales to real estate and all kinds of different stuff. I think it was kind of like, I hope you know what you're doing. And in my mind, I finally got to a place where like, well, I don't completely know what I'm doing, but I'm following my dream and I'm really happy about it and I'm going to do it. Like, I don't care what anybody else thinks. And I think that's an important place to get to. It's hard for a lot of people to get there. I referenced in the book, there's a woman who wrote a book called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. And she interviewed tons of different people on their deathbeds. And the number one most common regret of the dying was that I didn't live a life true to myself. I lived a life based on what I thought other people wanted me to do. And, you know, so what you're talking about is exactly that. It's making that pivot. I'm sure you have more experience with this than I do, obviously, but I'm sure that's even more difficult for people coming out of the military, right? Where you were living a life for other people, right? You were told when to get up and what to do.
Yeah, the independence of your life is limited.
Yeah, especially in the Marines where you come from, like it's rammed into your head, right? That you are part of this large organization. You are not an individual. You're part of a team. And so those decisions are made for you. And now you come out and you're looking around trying to figure out where do I go? And it's a whole new world. But you do have the opportunity to live a life true to yourself, to follow your dreams and do what you truly want to do and not worry about what other people think. And it's hard to make that change, to make that shift. But when we do, I find people are so much happier and so much more fulfilled. I mean, my little brother, just as an example, because it doesn't have to be starting some big business. And like my brother delivers pizza for a living and goes to a lot of concerts and he loves it and that he's living a life true to himself. And I had to be the one to stop like bothering him to try to go get a better job and make more money because I realized I was encouraging him for me, not for him. He loves his life. He's already living his life for him.
Him living his life made you insecure about yours.
It totally did, right? Because I'm like, God, I know, how does this reflect on me? My brother is 34 years old. He delivers pizza for a living. I hope he listens to this. He's happy with that. And so I'm happy for him, right? I don't try to meddle in his life anymore because I don't want anybody to meddle in mine. I want mine to be able to live my life the way I want to. And he can live his life the way he wants to, just like you can with yours.
There's a part in the military that almost sets us up to adopt the normality of what people have built for us is they put you to a class and everybody gets the same, what I call, it's a transition assistance program, but I call it TAPS. They call it TAPS and I call it the TAPS code. That everybody gets the same code of you go out, you get a suit, you get your job, you get your interview, And all of that leads into, man, that's how you transition out and you find success. But none of that space allows you to figure out what your curiosity is leading you towards. And I'll never forget your episode that you did on the Andy Storch podcast with Dan Miller. And when he talked about don't follow your passion, follow your curiosity, I still repeat that probably once a week to someone, because that advice fueled me to a point where I could focus less on the purpose and the passion and just follow the breadcrumbs that is my subconscious and the curiosity of what I want to learn more about. There is so much truth to what you're speaking there, because when we accept that our life is under our own terms, when we can go out there and design it, that is when we can really do the things that we really want to do. Now, in your book, you got broken down into three different sections. The first part is own your career. Part two is take control of your future self. Part three is own your life. The part that I really want to focus in on, and I think if you would agree that you're known for this all over the place, is build your network. Why do you think building your network is something that catapulted to you where you are today? Because I know your backstory, and personally, I've met around you when people are coming up to you. How has that really fueled where you are today, even besides all the mindset work, that network is the core part of that helps it all come true?
Yeah, that is, I'm very proud of those, and I'm proud of the network I've built, and it's so important. And it's something that applies in anything, whether you're an entrepreneur, you're in a corporate job, you're in military, wherever you go, whatever you do, you can benefit from building a strong network, building a lot of relationships. And that's something that has served me well since I first started getting intentional with it in 2005. And at that point, I started because I read a book called Never Eat Alone by Keith Ferrazzi. And it was all about networking. And I had just started business school at University of Southern California. And I took it seriously. I followed the advice and I went out and met as many people as I could. And I ended up being president of my class and then president of the MBA program, 700 people. And it was all because I just talked to more people than anybody else. Like, I just had a lot of conversations, built relationships. That has continued to serve me well through the rest of my life. Every job opportunity I've gotten, every business opportunity has come from relationships, right? Just this morning, going back, right, as I got into the corporate world, when I decided, I told you I tried entrepreneurship, everything I tried failed. I decided I need to get a corporate job just to make some decent money. So I called a friend, actually my wife called her friend, her boyfriend, the friend's boyfriend, got me a job interview at this insurance company. And then the next job I got, I had gone to a networking mixer and I met this woman who was like, oh, we're hiring someone. And she brought me in for the interview and I got the job. And then the next job I got with the consulting company was because I reached out to a friend, said, I really hate my job. Basically, I'm trying to make a change. And he's like, oh, I just started this consulting company. You should come check it out. And he got me an interview and then I got the job. And you can see the trend that's happening here. The next move I made to become an independent consultant was because my friend Bennett Phillips said, hey, you should come check this company out and come be my business partner. I'd love to work with you. And I said, okay. And I came over and started working with him. And then the opportunities I have now coming my way often come from a network. Just this morning, as I was going to say, a friend of mine in the UK reached out to me a couple of weeks ago and said, I have this opportunity with this company to run this executive development program, but they need some strategy stuff. That's not really my thing. I feel like that's something you do. Do you want to contribute to the proposal? And I said, sure. And I added a workshop into the proposal. And this morning she closed the deal. And now I have some client work lined up in January, February that I didn't have to even go out and sell. It came to me because of a relationship. And that's been kind of the story of my career for the last 15 years. And I see that happening for so many other successful people. And it's so important, because no matter what you want to do, if you want to change jobs, if you want to go start a business, if you want to, you know, even just take care of some things in your personal life, having a network and being able to get referrals and introductions and just having those conversations can lead to so many different amazing things. And so that's why I'm always out there talking to people, checking in with friends, and just asking people what they're working on, what they need, seeing if I can find a way to help them in any way possible, seeing where that goes. And when I launched my book just a couple of weeks ago in November, I wasn't sure how the launch was going to go, but of course I reached out to tons of friends and let them know what was going on. And I had so many people posting about my book, sharing it, going back to high school friends and on. And I was just amazed. I was shocked, really. And I had to kind of sit back and reflect and think, why am I getting so much support? This is amazing. And oh yeah, the reason is because I have been building this network and building relationships for the last 15 plus years and trying to find ways to help others, trying to jump in and help other people whenever I see an opportunity. And that's coming back to me, whether you believe in karma or something else, I'm seeing it come back to me all the time. So my advice on that is always talk to more people, build more relationships, lead with curiosity, you know, get to know people, ask questions, and also try to find ways to give and add value. And I'll close with this on networking. I mentioned this in the book that my friend, you should talk to as many people as you can, because my friend Ben Killoy likes to say that you're always just one conversation away from changing the rest of your life. And you don't know what that's going to be until you have that conversation.
I appreciate that re-mentioning of a Killoyism that I can't, another one I often repeat, because there's so much truth to that story. Like, my life is there. There's a military veteran that she has a podcast, and we met at Podcast Movement last year, and we had a lunch, and it was just a lunch. She came up to me and asked me to have lunch with her. And she just posted on LinkedIn yesterday how that lunch is still having an impact on her life. And all we did was have a single conversation over lunch. It was just talking between two people.
And you and I also got a chance to hang out at PodFest, another podcast conference, March of this year, 2020. Amazing. That was like the last conference ever. I went to the military. There was a military podcast, like mini conference within the conference, right? And I went to go see you speak, even though I'm not in the military. I wanted to come support you and see what you have going on. And I met a couple other people there and connected with some different people. And then I spent the rest of that conference. I was reminded of this yesterday because I did an interview with my friend Jody Mayberry for his podcast. He and I met in person for the first time at that event. And he said, I knew who you were and I wanted to come say hi to you, but you were always in the hallway surrounded by people. And I was like, yeah, I guess so, because I'm always just talking to people. You know, other than a couple sessions that I think you and I went to, Ben, I didn't go to that many sessions. I was just in the hallway.
Neither did I. I think I went to like three. And most
yeah,
of them,
you and I were both.
Once we went to the same one.
In the hallway talking to people. And there's always trade-offs to that, right? We could learn more if we went to the sessions, but you can make more friends and build relationships when you're out of the sessions. And I look at those trade-offs. I do like going to the sessions and learning, but oftentimes when I think about those events, I think the things that are being talked about in those sessions, quite honestly, all those speakers have their own podcasts and YouTube channels or whatever. I could probably just go listen to them on the internet, but I will never get an opportunity again to go meet the people that are in this room.
I don't know if I gave you this Killoyism for the cherry on top of one conversation, but when I'm in those modes, I always tell people, you can Google what you need to know in 2020, but you cannot Google who you need to know. And that's why the hallway is always more important than the content.
Oh, I like that. I like that. I might steal that one. That's fantastic. And you know, the interesting thing about 2020, and as we get into 2021, it's still going to be like this for a while. We're not really going to conferences or live events. And you know, so for the benefit of your audience who's thinking, well, now how do I go do this? And I'm not, first of all, I don't have a big network, or I'm not going to conferences. The world is your oyster. It's out there. Everybody's on, you know, most people are on social media. So I love social media for that. I'm on LinkedIn every day. I use Facebook and Instagram a lot as well. And I'm always connecting with people. And then there's someone, they're interesting to me, or I'm interesting to them, or I think they might be a potential client, or you know, a job down the line or whatever. I try to get them on Zoom. And then we have a conversation face-to-face, right? On video or the phone, but more Zoom. And you build a lot of relationships that way. I had like three or four of those yesterday. I talked to some very interesting people, by the way. I learned some things and I built some relationships, and then those people I'll probably keep in touch with. And you never know where that'll go. Like you said, you're always one conversation away.
There was I attended a stay-at-home dad convention, now being a stay-at-home dad, because I wanted to connect. I didn't even know this convention existed until earlier in the year when I attended Dad 2.0. And I was like, oh my gosh, an entire convention for stay-at-home dads. And you get to connect with your people. And so it was a virtual conference in October. And it was just a great place to connect with other people that have the same struggles. And then they had like a happy hour where they did some games on Zoom and we talked and I had a drink here. And I felt like I was just content. Like I was talking to other guys, we were growing, I was learning. And those little micro moments, those just give you an expanded consciousness almost to how you can feel forward going into your life when you feel connected to other people that are feeling some of the same things. And when you go to conferences, you always run into people like feeling that the same problem, or they struggle and they've got the solution that you're currently feeling.
Yeah, totally. And I was just laughing as you were talking, thinking, well, we're all stay-at-home dads in 2020.
Yes, we're all stay-at-home dads in 2020.
But obviously there's a difference between people like me who are, you know, working on a full-time business and sending my kids to school, and you spend a lot more, probably more time with your kids. I don't know. I don't see your schedule. It's always bad to assume. But I think it's cool that that event is out there. And, you know, I talked about that in my book. And so when conferences come back, that one of the great conversation starters, like the greatest conversation starter, is having a commonality from the get-go. And that's why we meet a lot of friends in school. And that's why going to conferences is so great, because no matter what the conference is about, it could be an industry type thing, right? It could be for lawyers. It could be for construction workers or military veterans, but it could also be some type of personal niche like stay-at-home dads, or it could be an interest like comic books or basket weaving or whatever. It doesn't matter. Once you're in the room with people for the same reason, podcasting, you automatically have a topic to start talking about. What's your podcast about? What's your podcast about? You know, oh, that's cool that you stay at home too. How many kids do you have? Like, you already know when you meet people there that they have children, right? It's an easy assumption to make. And you can start talking about how old their kids are and how's it going, and like, how do you make money and all that sort of stuff. And it just gets the conversation going faster. And you can still do that online with virtual conferences, virtual events, finding commonalities. If you are looking for a certain type of job, I love reaching out to people in that niche on LinkedIn and saying, hey, can we just grab a virtual coffee? Can I ask you some questions about what you do? Because I'm just trying to learn as much as I can and eventually get a job in marketing or sales or PR or whatever it is. And not everybody's going to say yes, but a lot of people will. And that's how you start to build relationships and start to build that network one person at a time.
And one thing that I like about the podcasting conferences is podcasting is the tool. It's really not a niche. So it attracts niches you've never even imagined. Like, you do what with a podcast? Like, you find yourself telling yourself that over and over when you go to a podcast conference, because it's all the niches. There is no difference. It's just they use the same tool. And there's not many conferences like that where they talk about the tool versus the niche. Everything else is pretty niche except podcasting, where everybody goes to the center spoke of that to bring them together. So let's make a pivot to talk about a little bit about your family, because that's something that I even got a day to spend with you back, I think like maybe a year and a half ago. I came down early for some work and spent the day with your family and just had an amazing time playing with the kids and just being outdoors in Florida where it was warm. And I think it was December, the time frame, so it was definitely much nicer. Locked my keys in the car, so we had to deal with that. So lots of fun on learning to grow through different struggles. But I want to ask, all the stuff that you're currently doing and the things that you want to do with your life, what are some of the simple examples? Your kids are pretty young, so but that's where a lot of like the little small seeds are planted. What are some of the things you currently do with your kids to help them set themselves up to really know how they fit into the world in ways that maybe you didn't know when you first entered?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So my kids are 6 and 4. I have a girl and a boy. I'm very passionate about being a great father. I make plenty of mistakes like anybody else. Usually doing stuff with them. We have fun and do things together every weekend. And, you know, during the week, we have dinner together every night as a family, my wife and two kids, and sometimes play games and board games and stuff like that. As far as helping them figure out their place in the world, I don't know if I've ever thought about it specifically in that way, but I am big on having the right mindset, keeping their minds open to possibilities. So I try to never pigeonhole them into anything like, you will do this or you won't do that. My 4-year-old son has said many times that he wants to be a garbage man when he grows up, because he loves the garbage truck coming down the street. I've never said once, like, nobody in my family is going to be a garbage man, right? Like, no, if that's what you want to pursue, cool. By the way, he's 4 years old. So what would be even the point? Of course, my wife and I joke that all those jobs will be automated by the time he grows up, and it's not even possible. Unless he's just working in the control tower, right? That controls all the trucks.
Yeah, running some AI that picks up all the garbage.
Right, exactly, as they move around the streets. Or he's the programmer that programs the trucks that move around the streets, right? Because there probably won't be any really people doing it. But there'll be other cool jobs related to that. So that's one thing.
What about your trips? I know you're really big on leaving Florida when the heat is over, and you always do some big fall adventure. And there's got to be something that within that moment, with those moments where you're out, when you went out to Montana and Wyoming, where you're getting them into an environment they're not even exposed to, and they're asking questions that they don't get any other way unless they're in an environment where they see mountains larger than life.
Yeah. I mean, I love adventure and exploration, and we try to take adventures while we're here in Central Florida. But I do have a dream of getting out of Central Florida every summer and going to cooler places and being in the mountains again. So that I want to touch on the mindset thing, because I am really big on growth mindset and raising them with a growth mindset so that they believe they can achieve anything. It's okay to fail. Hard work is valued over achievement. And I want them to try to figure out how to do things themselves. I was reflecting on this morning. I reflect on this a lot, especially when I'm at the playground watching other parents. It's one of the hardest things to do, I think, as a parent, is let your kids struggle and let your kids try to do things. And that's really important to me, because I want them to grow up thinking that, you know, knowing that they can try and achieve almost anything. It's so hard. And the example that came to me this morning was my daughter, who's 6 and likes to climb trees. She climbed a tree and she got her leg like stuck, you know, in between two of the branches and was kind of almost like hanging. And she was starting to get really scared and she started crying, "Daddy, I need your help. Please help me get out of this tree." And I was about 15 feet away and I came over and I said, "Honey, you can do this yourself. Pull yourself back up so you have more freedom, flexibility with your leg. And then you're going to, you know, get it out." And that's what she did. She pulled herself up. And then she got her leg out and she ended up jumping down out of the tree and got down by herself. And I gave her a high five. And I was so proud of her. And I was also so proud of me, because it would have been so easy in that moment to just grab her and pick her up out of that tree, right? And free her and rescue her, because that's what we're here for, right? To rescue and save our kids. But I won't always be there for them to do that. And so I'm really big on that. And, you know, they see me getting into tricky situations as we go out and on adventures. Like you said, I have a stand-up paddleboard and I take them out a lot on that. And we've gotten a couple times where I'm out paddleboarding with the kids on a lake or a river. We hit some strong wind and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get back. And I'm telling them, like, "Kids, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get back. Like, we have to keep paddling. I need your help." And eventually we have always made it back, but I've had some tricky situations. Yeah, we've taken some cool trips. We went to North Carolina this year in the fall. We went up to, you know, Montana and Yellowstone a couple of years ago. It is really like outside of what we would normally be doing, right? It's adventure. And this year was really cool. When we were in North Carolina, I took my daughter, who's 6, I took both kids with me out hiking with me. But then I took my daughter on what we said was a, quote, big hike, because I used to really be big into hiking and camping and backpacking. I did a lot of that when I lived in California, and I haven't done much in a while, but I want to introduce her to that. And I was like, "We're going to do a big hike today." And of course, there was a reward. She wanted to get this stuffed animal. And I said, "If you do the hike, you'll get the stuffed animal." And they had never done anything over probably a mile. I think with both of them, we did like 2 or 3. And then I took her on one that was supposed to be, I think, 4, and ended up being like 7 because I went the wrong way. And she was really struggling at the end, but I told her I was just so proud of her that she stuck with it and got through that we both got through it and finished the hike. And I want to show them, her and them, that you're capable of more than you think. I think I tell them that a lot too, that you're capable of more than you think. And I need to tell myself that, right? And all of us need to tell ourselves that you are capable of more than you think. Like, we put these limitations on ourselves, like you said earlier. And if we just push through that, we have the courage to push through that. I talk to them about courage a fair amount as well, and fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's just looking at fear and taking the action anyway. The first time I heard that whole idea of the growth mindset and praising effort over achievement and the courage stuff, I learned from our mutual friend and mentor, Larry Yach, who's a Navy SEAL veteran, Navy SEAL officer, retired. So I talked to them about that. Like, what is courage? And is it possible to go try things? But also, it's hard not to force them to do stuff too, because I want them to be able to choose and do the life. And I think that's a tough balance too, is like figuring out when to like really push your kids to try stuff and when to just back off and let them decide what they want to do for them, right?
There is a part that you mentioned there where you were talking about your kids and growing up and believing themselves. And I got a question. Have you ever seen The Christmas Chronicles on Netflix?
I have not. I heard it's really good. I heard somebody talking about it.
I just did a Fatherhood Friday episode today on it as I'm recording this, which is December 4th, that there is a part in there where, because there's a boy in this movie where his dad dies in a fire because he's a firefighter. And he's essentially got a wounded heart. And Santa does his magic in this one particular scene without giving it away. And he reignites that this boy just had to do one thing, which is believe he's had everything inside to get where he needed to go. And that movie, I bawl my eyes out now. And I didn't bawl it out the first time when it first came out in 2018. But by second time, 2019, I had had the podcast for a year. And so like all of these thoughts and patterns and emotions are being talked about every week in my head. And I just immediately started crying in there because that was so impactful. And the crazy part about that word is that was actually my 2020 word. Well before 2020 even got started, before I lost my job, before COVID hit, before everything had been redefined over and over again this year, believing was that one word that I wanted to remind myself was, because like in December, it really hit me that I've had everything that I need to be everything that I want to. It's the belief. And the title of the Fatherhood Friday is the best gift for Christmas is the belief in themselves. Because if your kids believe they're capable of anything when they go into the world, like the world's their oyster, because you're not going to be around to reaffirm them. And they're going to need to generate that belief all on their own. And if they don't have that, you can go through life doubting yourself, even just simple of yours. You're not going to say like, I don't believe I can be a professional baseball player. But people do become professional baseball players. So there are a group of people out there that believe that nothing other than that is going to come true. And they go for it and they either get it, you don't, but they believe they can do it and they put their mind to it. So that word is a big, powerful word there.
Right. They had it in them and they just go do it. And we do too. And we often hold ourselves back. It reminds me, there was a moment I was at a mastermind retreat 2 years ago up in Pittsburgh that our friend Vincent Pugliese was running. And I was sitting there opening up about my situation and how I had this dream of being like a big time author and speaker. But I just didn't know that it was, if it was really possible, because I'm not like all those other big time people that I admire, like Hal Elrod and these other people. I'm just a regular guy. And this guy named Adam McCarty, who was there, he hadn't spoken up much that week, those couple of days we were there. He turned, he looked at me and he said, Andy, the only difference between you and them is they're doing it. And I was like, what? Like, I can't argue with that. Like, there's nothing I can say. Like, he's right. The only difference is like, they don't have any superpowers. They just went and did it. And if I want to do it, I need to go get it too. And so, you know, ever since then, I've been kind of on this mission to go out and create the life that I want. Yeah, do it. And I see you doing the same thing. And I really admire that. I think it's awesome. And I love when I see other people doing it. It doesn't always work out. You know, I haven't achieved the big success that maybe I wanted to or thought I would, but I'm on my way. I love my life and the journey is what's most important. So, and happiness and fulfillment, I think those are the most important things. And I love where I am right now. I love my life. I love my family. I'm excited about where things are going. So that one is a turning point for me.
And Jim Carrey, I was just reminded of this advice that he often says, he wish everybody could be rich and famous and learn that it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Right.
Because that's what we envision it. But I mean, there's a reason why there's five or six gossip sheets devoted towards the gossip of Hollywood, because there's a lot of drama. Yeah. Even when you have it all made, your life and your mind will create new problems.
Jim Carrey is another one of those famous stories who truly believed in himself. You ever heard that story about how he wrote the check to himself?
$1 million check in his pocket for a few 10 years in the future.
Yeah, he wrote $1 million check to himself for, I don't know, 5 years later or whatever it was. And he achieved it by going out and becoming a successful actor.
And even with professional speaking, I said some of the same things in a different way, that there are people making $5,000 with less skill than I've invested in professional speaking. There's no reason why I can't go out there and do the exact same thing and deliver a better product, which is probably a similar way why you launch your own conference, because I've been to a lot of conferences. I can do it better than other people that are already making money at it. And the only difference is they're doing it.
Yeah. And I couldn't get anybody to let me speak at their conferences. So I just decided to host my own. That's the easy thing. If no one lets you play ball, you just go make your own game.
And there's so much truth even to that. Like,
Yeah. I mean, if you don't get invited, just make your own party, right? Like go, don't get down, just go create something. But I also did see an opportunity. There were a lot of conferences out there that just weren't very good. And so we said, you know what, my friend Bennett Phillips and I, let's create our own and create something better. And we did. And it was a freaking heck load. I don't know what I can say on your show, but it was a lot of hard work.
We swear regularly.
Oh, okay. It was a fuckload of hard work. But we pulled it off. And I'm very proud of that. And we hosted a conference back in January of 2020, this year, crazy enough, with people in person. And I'm really proud that we did that.
And I remember watching it from afar go on through your life. And I was so proud because you did go out there and do it. And that in itself is a testament of to your network. And then even the relationships that you've compounded. And probably without that network, 2020 would have been even harder, because you had so much more momentum coming to 2020 because you're on the coattails of that conference.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, I mean, that conference, coming off of that conference with the network and the brand and the buzz and the relationships, my business was growing. It was looking really awesome for the year. But my whole business was selling and running in-person training workshops. I was flying around the country, running leadership development programs, teaching people how to become better leaders. It was all in person, and it all disappeared when COVID hit in March. I needed to find a way to completely pivot my business, but I didn't give up. I allowed myself a few days of like, what the heck is going on? Then I moved on and started building relationships, and eventually left the company I was with to go out on my own and pivot. And I launched a membership community from the conference, and that has turned into a nice little income stream. I launched a virtual summit back in September that was very successful and helped me build, you know, an email list and more contacts and network and things like that. And that led into me launching the book. It's been a lot of pivots this year, but I wouldn't trade it for anything else. I mean, I'm really grateful that all this happened because it allowed me to really accelerate my pivot into building the business and life that I truly want.
Yeah, I've had to eat crow on this advice because I've given it so many times. I've had to give it back to myself during, especially even just in the last few months and weeks, is the only difference between carbon and a diamond is pressure. And 2020 has delivered more pressure than any other year in most people's lives. And while it sucks and you wish you could come up for air, that pressure is revealing some inner beauty and making you dig deeper and reveal something. And that's continuing to be my case, where we just pivoted virtually and new challenges, trying to balance different things. But again, it's just pressure, and that pressure creates the growth. And you almost get addicted to the pressure once you have that mindset, because the more pressure, then it means like you're going to get more disciplined, you're going to get more focused, you're going to cut out the noise, and it just gets a little bit easier to go through it.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. It's I love the idea of turning challenges into opportunities. I talk about that in the book, and having that mindset where everything in life happens for you. So getting away from the victim mindset that things happen to you and you are just, you know, waiting for things in life to happen. I want people to take more of an ownership mindset where you take ownership of your situation. You take responsibility for everything happening in your life. You believe that everything in life happens for you, and that when challenges come up, they do create opportunities for other things. You don't know what they may be yet. It may be hard at the time. You get laid off, you lose a job, you lose a loved one. These things suck, but they can become opportunities with the right mindset and the right pivot. I talk about in the book three questions to ask anytime you face a big challenge. Question number one is, what is great about this? So is there any kind of silver lining? Is there something good about it? It's like for COVID, silver lining was I used to be on planes all the time, flying around the country and the world. And I have two young kids. And ever since COVID hit, I've been home with my kids every single night since early March, which is amazing. Fantastic. I loved it. Question number two is, what can I learn from this? So is there an opportunity to learn? Can I improve for the future? Maybe I need to build a better network so I'm more prepared for things like this. Maybe there's things I can do differently next time. And then question number three is, what does this make possible? Because challenges almost always create opportunities and new possibilities come up. We don't always see them right away, but you could probably interview thousands of people who got laid off from their jobs, were devastated, and then found a new job that ended up being their dream job. And they're so glad that they did, right? I love hearing those stories. And I think it happens so much, and we lose sight of it. Tim Ferriss has a book, Tribe of Mentors. So if you read through Tribe of Mentors, I've read through a lot of it, and it's all just like short, like Q&A with all these successful people. And there are so many of those where he asks like, what was your biggest failure? And all these people tell these stories of when they hit rock bottom, and then how they're so grateful that it happened, because then it led to the thing that they're doing now. And just like for you, Ben, you know, who knows where all this is going, but I know you're probably going to look back one day and be so glad that you got laid off in 2020 so that it forced you to create a new business and a life that you truly, truly wanted.
Yeah. No matter what happens, my first stay-at-home dad seat got planned with my wife, went to China for 10 days. That opened up a door for me. I knew, even knew with those 10 days, I was like, when I'm 50, I'm going to remember these 10 days and I'm going to make sure that they're memorable and that I'm present. And that opened up the whole door to me explore even more and fall in love with and pursue being a stay-at-home dad more and just continue. And my daughter today asked me, how would I rate 2020? And I said, 5 for craziness and 5 for awesomeness. And she's like, why would you say that? And I was like, well, because I got to be home with you guys all year. Like, that's a really cool thing, even though there's a lot of things to deal with and pressure and problems. But I know at 50, none of those problems are going to matter, but the core thing is going to matter is the time that everybody wants back, I was there. So as we wrap up this interview, what is a parting piece of advice as a dad that you want to make sure every dad hears from your lessons of growing, owning your life, and owning your career?
It's interesting. We talked a lot about mindset and helping our kids understand that anything is possible for them. One thing we didn't touch on that I know you and I are both big on is love, right? It's just showing them love and compassion. And I want my kids to know that I love them unconditionally, no matter what happens. And so I try to tell them every day that I love them. It's something I did not get growing up. It's not that my father didn't love me. He was around. My parents were divorced, so I saw my father a couple days a week instead of all the time. Definitely helped raise me and mentor me, and I'm still have a good relationship with him. And he actually didn't, I don't think, ever tell me that he loved me until I actually brought it up with him within the last year. He admitted he had a hard time with emotion, like a lot of men do, and that, you know, sharing his feelings is not something that he was comfortable doing, but he did love me. And I think this is probably common for a lot of men. And it was such a hard conversation to have, but I'm glad we did, because now my dad and I tell each other that we love each other almost every time we talk. I'm 40 years old and he's 70, right? It took 40 years to get to that point. I don't want to wait that long with my kids. So I tell my kids every day that I love them. And I hope that everybody gets to live their life however they want, but I hope you show your children love and compassion and kindness, and also tough love sometimes, and raise them to be great adults, because we won't always be there to support them, to rescue them. And so we need to also raise them to be great, independent adults. And so I'm big on that as well.
I love that advice. And I tell dad so many times that love is the key. Your kids are the key through the emotions, the feelings you're struggling with. The love you feel for them that you can give them will help heal you in yourself. That is, I love that advice. So where's the best place where they can connect more with Andy Storch and get connected with everything that you are and what you bring for value?
Thank you, Ben. Well, the book again is Own Your Career, Own Your Life. I have a book and a companion journal that I created, which has prompts for all of the questions in the book at each chapter, as well as a 90 days tracking your goals, morning and evening routines, gratitude in there, planning your day, reflecting on the day, where you are on your goal, and what you need to do to achieve more. The book and the companion journal are both available on Amazon. The book's available in other places wherever you buy books, but Amazon, of course, is the main place to go. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn and Instagram and Facebook. So of course you can find me there. I have a podcast called Own Your Career, Own Your Life. I just recently changed it from the Andy Storch Show to Own Your Career, Own Your Life to match the book. And so I'm sharing insights and interviews and all kinds of stuff on that podcast on a regular basis. So just come find me and say hi and let me know you heard me on the Military Veteran Dad podcast. I always love connecting with people, especially friends of Ben Killoy. And you never know what might happen.
I love what you said there. And I can attest to his journal and just his ridiculous routine of morning, because a secret of Andy and ours is I've been in a messenger group with him, I think for like 3 years now, where we each say hi to each other in the morning as accountability. And this man wakes up religiously at 5:30, if not earlier, 7 days a week. And he has to be completely under the weather to even feel lazy. And if he is lazy, he's only lazy for 1 or 2 days and he's right back at it and taking that picture, reading his journal and writing down his goals every morning. So I can attest to everything that this man brings, and his hunger and fuel for life has rubbed off on me in ways that I'm still learning on all the different ways it's been rubbing off. And we're only just getting started. We've only been friends for, I think, maybe 4 years now. So I can only imagine 20 years from now of how we look back and see how we both grew each other in ways that we maybe didn't know before we got together.
I love it. Yeah. And it's great to be connected with people who support you, inspire you, push you. I'm grateful for our friendship as well. And I want to encourage others to find those relationships and also invest in yourself and be intentional. You know, keep reading books, listening to podcasts, get a journal, you know, track progress toward your goals, hire a coach, join a mastermind group if you need to. And remember that nobody cares more about your career and really your life than you do. So you have to take ownership. You have to take the initiative and go out and follow your dreams and achieve your goals. And I hope that listening to this has helped a lot of people do that.
Thank you for taking this time to listen to that episode. I really hope you got everything out of that episode that I got out of it. And I hope that Andy has started already rubbing off on you. I want to give one other point that the three big questions that he pointed out of what to do on the other side of adversity, what is great about this, what can I learn from this, what does this make possible? I've included those three questions in the show notes. So if you really like those questions and you're listening in your car, go check out the show notes for this episode. They're right there. And you can begin applying these three questions for your life going forward. I use those three questions in my life all the time. And anytime someone loses their job, I always talk to them about what does this make possible in their life. But to talk about my big takeaway this episode, my big takeaway from this episode is really identifying the things, the ball and chains that are holding you back. What Andy really talked about a lot in this core of the first part of this interview was identifying your story and how it's currently playing out in your life and how it's leading you to the life, whether you choose to or not, where you are headed. There is so much of our destination that we aren't really conscious of until we slow down, look to actually really where the trajectory of our life is headed, and ask ourselves, is that really where we want to go? Perfect examples, if your health's in the toilet, your health is going to lead you to a trajectory where you may not be able to play with your grandkids. And you have to ask yourself, is that the trajectory I want? No. Okay, so what can I do now to pivot that trajectory in something else? There is a huge power within identifying the core story that's running in your life from your past, how people showed up in your life. It's a huge component within the coaching that I bring to dads, because if you don't first understand where you are on the map, and I equate this to driving by a roadside wayside, and you pull over and you go to the bathroom and you look in the little middle area, there's always a map with a big pin that says you are here. That pin is so critical to identify, because once you understand where you are, you can understand where you are in the context of the map. But many dads out there listening to this episode and just going through life do not look at where that pin currently is and understanding, are they on Interstate 90 or they're on Interstate 43? These are two major interstates in Wisconsin, and if you're on the wrong one, you're going to get to the destination that is in the complete opposite direction. One, you're going to end in Minnesota. The other one, you're going to end in Milwaukee. So it's so critical to understand where you are on the map. And that was a big component, because once you understand where you are, then the steps to own your life, move yourself forward, and develop that path and potential that you really know is true in your heart becomes so, so much clearer. So again, if you want to know more about Andy, head on over to Military Veteran Dad. The show notes are all there. And I can't tell you how good of a friend Andy has been. I really appreciated him coming on the podcast today. If you have not left an iTunes reviews, iTunes reviews are the blood and life of our podcast on Apple. And I love reading every one of those Apple iTunes reviews. And they mean the world to me, and they mean the world to listeners who are looking for better content on the podcast app and trying to find different content to help them with their life. So if you haven't left a review, it would mean the world to me, and it would mean the world with this mission to help bring every dad home, not just to their work, not just to their life, but to their family, and not just physically, but emotionally and mentally, and to understand the raw, awesome power we get when we get called dad. So guys, have an amazing week. I'll be back on the microphone again for a first of the year Fatherhood Friday on Friday. And with that, I'm signing off. Have a great week.